right. My name is Annie. I'm an alcoholic. My heart is beating really fast, and I have spoken before, so I don't know why I'm so nervous. But I don't know. I think that's almost a good thing for me to be asked, like, 10 minutes before the meeting, hey, do you want to speak? You're speaking. You don't have a choice. Okay, fine. My sobriety day is 9/2/13. I have a sponsor. I have a home group, and I sponsor others. I guess I'll start at the beginning. I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm from the Midwest. My family life, nothing too, like, crazy about it. I mean, there was, like, some domestic violence, like, when I was younger, but that kind of, like, fizzled out as I got older. The dynamic in my household was always, my dad was the more dominant one, and my mother was the, okay, I'm gonna do whatever you want me to do, whatever, like, I'm trying to make you happy, essentially. And that was kind of how me in my active addiction was. Like, I just want to make you happy, I just want people to like me. As long as you like me and you're happy, then I'm okay. And later on, I guess as, I'll talk about this more later, but when I came into recovery, like, I blamed my mom for a lot of why I was in my disease. Like, this isn't my fault, this is your fault. Like, it took a long time for me to actually take ownership of my own actions. But say my first drink was when I was about 14, nothing like too exciting. I didn't get drunk, but I just like snuck a wine cooler from my parents' lake house, and we went out to a lake in Iowa. It was like nothing special. But my first drunk was, I was probably about 17 or 18. Now the people that like I hung out with, I tried to like seek out people that were like myself, like people that like, oh, I know you're a good student, I know you do well, like you're in the same activities I am, so like you must be good. Like I tried to like hang out with the right crowd so my parents would never think like you're doing anything, like Annie's doing anything wrong. Annie's just like the perfect child. I have a brother who's autistic, and in my eyes, I had to like make sure that I was seen, essentially, like it, like go above and beyond, like get all A's, and if I didn't get all A's, like my dad'd be like, well, what are you doing? And like in my head, I created this like complex for myself, that I just wanted to be noticed and I wanted to fit in. At school, I didn't really like have a group. I kind of like jumped around a lot. I'm trying to think. Yeah, that was pretty much my high school career, was like trying to jump around and see where I fit in. And like even like I was in orchestra from the time I was 8 years old. And even there, like the place that I felt like I had the most people, I knew the most people, I didn't feel like I fit in. There was a group of people that I hung out with when I was about 17, they invited me over for a party. I'm like, okay, well, I'm just gonna go and like hang out for a couple hours. Like I didn't go with like any intention of like, I didn't even know they were gonna be drinking. I was like, oh, a party, cool. Like we're gonna watch some movies. No, it was not that kind of party. that was the night that like, at one point I knew like how much I drank that night. I just know that it started off with an infinite amount of Jello shots that I had like tallied on my hands. And like the next thing I know, I'm like at the bottom of a staircase, and I'm like, how did I like get down here? Like, why am I laying at the bottom of a staircase? And my best friend comes up to me, or like, not really my best friend, but she's like a mother figure. She comes up to me and she's like, you just like fell down the stairs and hit your head on the doorknob. You have like a giant bruise right here. And I'm like, what? So, needless to say, the next morning, I had to go home because I had to work. I had wonderful timing. I had to work, and I had to explain to my parents. And they're like, why do you have this giant bruise on your head? I'm like, I ran into a door at my friend's party last night. And they're like, oh, okay. that was pretty much like how my drinking career went. Like, I would get myself into these, like, situations, and then I would have to, like, come up with a story to have a background, like, pretty much the entire time I was drinking, my parents like never really knew officially where I was. I was always MIA. guess I'll fast forward a little bit. My disease is very on and off because I also have an eating disorder. And when I'm not drinking, I'm in my eating disorder. So my disease kind of looks like this. So like, there were a couple years where it was dormant and it wasn't like the primary thing that was going on in my life, but I definitely had the tendencies, like the egomaniac with the inferiority complex. I was still concerned with like what you thought of me and like drinking to fit in, like on occasion when that did happen. I do remember right before I moved here, this is one of the first like financial amends I owed was, right before I moved here, my wife and I were like obviously saving money, put money in our savings account. Like, and I had, at the time I was working two jobs, and one job that I worked was supposed to go, all of it was supposed to go to savings. I was taking that money and I was like putting half of it in savings and then going to the bar with the rest. And then I'd go to the bank and I'd get the rest of it. And so like essentially by the time we moved, that account was like maybe like $300, if that, over like a 6 month period, which was terrible. And she's like, what happened to the money? I'm like, I have no idea. They must not have given me enough hours or whatever. It was terrible. When I moved here, it was almost like an escape. At this point in time, like, my wife had kind of figured out, she's like, you have an eating problem and like there's something going on. So like she kind of forced me to go to therapy. And so I went to therapy. I'm like, oh, that's not for me, whatever. And I come here and I meet this girl. And this girl is the girlfriend of my wife's coworker. So like the four of us all hang out all the time. And like all we do is drink, get high, and hang out in abandoned houses. That's like went downhill really quick. Really, really quick. We were living in an abandoned house. I don't think I've ever said before, but it was really miserable. On an air mattress with homeless people sleeping on my mattress too. It was very disgusting. But that went on for probably about 6 months after I moved here, and then that particular like group of people broke up, so I had to find someone new to like hang out with and like compare myself to, because if you're drinking more than me, then that like that means I'm okay. And that was my best friend. When I moved here, I finally like felt like I had a best friend, and it turned out we were just like really diseased people that were like feeding off of each other, and like who can drink more, who can not eat more, who can whatever, who can engage in disease activities more, and it was a really sick relationship. But right around then, I started working at this restaurant, and I'll kind of fast forward a little bit, but that's kind of where I stopped drinking. And I know this is AA, but like this is where like drugs came into my story. Like I started like skipping school, I started like skipping class and skipping work and going to this girl's house that I used to work with to get high, and then going into work like late, going into class late, sleeping in my car. Like it was very unmanageable. And at that point in time is when I had a very significant event happen in my life. My wife and I were trying to have a child, and like we couldn't have a child, and it was very emotional for the both of us. And so I used that to like get fucked up at. Like I used that just to, oh, if you were in the situation that I was, you would do that too. And it was at that point where my wife was like, you need to go to treatment because I don't know how else to help you. So I reluctantly went. And when I was there, like I went in thinking I don't have any like drug or alcohol problem. I'm just here for my eating disorder or whatever. And while I was there, I detoxed off of a barbiturate that I'd been addicted to, which was not fun. I was like, oh, this is just because I'm eating again. No, it was because I was going through withdrawal. And I look back, I'm like, wow. But while I was there, I had to go to AA and NA meetings, and I sat there for about a month and a half that I was in treatment, and I didn't pick up a white chip, because I'm like, I'm not one of you guys. Like, I even got asked, one of my roommates looked at me, she's like, why aren't you getting up? And I was like, oh, I've been here before. Lies. But I don't know. fast forward from that, when I, right before I left treatment, 2 weeks before I left treatment, I finally, like, had almost an epiphany, because we had to write this life story while I was in treatment. And I realized, that was when I realized when I wasn't in my eating disorder, I was in my alcoholism and my drug addiction. So it traded off. I was like, crap. And they're like, yeah, you have to get a sponsor now. So I have two sponsors, which is really weird. But I wouldn't have it any other. I can't talk. I wouldn't have it any other way, because being involved in AA has definitely helped me. From the time I got out of treatment, I had a woman come to my house, make sure I ate, make sure I got up, make sure I was dressed, and she drug me to AA meetings, and she drug me to a Vicky Pod bid meeting, and I was like, why am I here? I'm in my pajamas, like, take me home. And she's like, you are going to get involved. Like, I will sit here until you stand for a service position. And she did, and I got a service position. It took a little time. I remember being pissed off because I didn't get coffee chair, and I was like, they don't like me, whatever. And it's still, like, early in my disease, I was like, and I guess now, I'm like, oh, like, they don't like me. That must mean I'm a terrible person, is, like, kind of how my brain equates. But now, I guess, I'm trying to think. So, when I worked the steps with my first sponsor, and after I got to my fourth step, I realized that I didn't think I wanted to be with the person that I was with. So we split up, and we got back together, and we split up, and we got back together, we split up, and we're back together again, currently. But throughout all of that, like, I relapsed in my eating disorder, and to bring it back to AA, I came really close to drinking, because when I'm not solid in either one of my programs, it's a threat to the other. And the both times that we got back together, I initially put her first and not God first, and that's what almost took me out, is, like, not having any sort of higher power, any sort of God, any sort of spirituality in my life, just, like, making this person my higher power. And I will say that this time that we got back together, it's not that way. Like, this time around I make meetings my priority, I make service my priority, other people my priority. And it's really saved me, because I know that if I'm having a bad day, like, I can go somewhere where everybody's gonna get me. It doesn't matter if I go home and I'm trying to convince people around me that I'm a different person than I was 5 years ago when they met me, because I currently live with my in-laws, which is interesting. But I've moved around a lot in sobriety. I counted the last time I moved, and it was like 7 or 8 times, and I was like, whew, that's not even in 2 years I've moved 8 times. And it, like, made me, like, want to cry. I was like, I'm the geographical cure, and I don't even know I'm doing it. But I'm trying to think. More recently, like, I thought I wanted to change career fields. And granted, I went to school for graphic design, and, like, even though I barely passed with, like, a 2.5, if I remember correctly. And so I worked for different graphics companies for a while, and then once I got sober, I kind of stopped doing that, and I went and I tried to do, like, door-to-door sales, like, pretty much, like, whoever would hire me, like, I'd go there. So I worked at a couple of restaurants, and then I got offered a job by someone in program doing design and doing editing, like, stuff that I've done since I was in high school. And I'm like, oh, I'm good at that. And my sponsor's like, why don't you stop fighting it and, like, go for it? Like, be humble and, like, accept the position. And I was like, but I want to serve at the restaurant 40 hours a week, and I want to do this too, and I want to do that. So, like, for 3 weeks, I had my way, and I worked 3 jobs, and I thought I was going to die. But currently, present day, I'm working 1 job. I'm still at the same company that I got offered to, and I'm actually really happy. I'm sponsoring more girls now than I ever have. So I don't know how like that's really working, but I feel serene. And for the first time in a really long time, I know what serenity is, because I always thought I did. But I guess, yeah, like now that I know, like as long as I have God in my life, everything's going to be okay. So that's all I've got.